Greetings, friends. I'm John Haspel. This is a recording of our Thursday evening Dhamma class from Cross River Meditation Center in Frenchtown, New Jersey, on January 18th, 2018. This is the week two class of our 2018 12-week Dhamma study based on my book, The Truth of Happiness. This class is on the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. If you find benefit from this talk, please consider a donation at becoming-buddha.com. Thank you. Peace. The Four Foundations of Mindfulness. The Buddha's words. Friends, this is the only way for the purification of beings, for the overcoming of sorrow and regret, for the destruction of suffering and grief, for reaching the right path, for the attainment of nibbana, of an awakening, namely the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. So in that paragraph, the Buddha shows very clearly the proper application of mindfulness as far as the Buddha taught mindfulness. This is from the Satipatthana Sutta. And the section that you all read last week, if you read it, is really just an excerpt from the bigger sutta. It's included in the context that it is so that it relates directly to meditation. That's the initial reason that the Buddha taught Four Foundations of Mindfulness as very simple and direct instructions on how to meditate and what to do with the breath during meditation. To be mindful of the breath and the body, the first foundation of mindfulness. The reason why I say that is the Buddha's teachings are completely and entirely pragmatic. He doesn't teach anything that is conceptual or imaginary. And that last part, imaginary, is important because imagining something is a very subtle and very powerful and widely used strategy to continue to ignore our own ignorance. And so the idea that we can breathe into different parts of our body, or we should manipulate our breaths in a certain way, that follows from a misapplication of the Anapanasati Sutta, or any type of exaggerated breath work is fine if you want to do something like that. It should be very clear it's not something that the Buddha taught. And that type of activity is very easily used to continue ignorance because we're just playing around in our imagination. We can only breathe into our lungs. We can't breathe into our toes or our feet or our neck or the top of our heads. The breath in the human body works one way. It goes into the breath, and it goes into the lungs and out of the lungs. And I don't want to overemphasize that point, but it's an important point to make. The reason is to keep our meditation very simple. If we hope, the point of meditation is to deepen concentration, to bring to cessation a distracted mind. So anytime we start embellishing very simple directions, we're opening ourselves up for a constant distraction, rather than using a meditation practice for what it's meant. So be mindful of the breath and the body. Then the Buddha teaches to be mindful of feelings arising and passing away, and thoughts arising and passing away. Those are the next two foundations of mindfulness. And notice the words that are used. Foundation of mindfulness sometimes is called the four frames of reference. It's how we reference what's occurring during meditation, and also how we should relate to what's arising. And relating to feelings and thoughts arising and passing away in a mindful way also means to do it dispassionately. Mindfulness means to hold in mind or to recollect without any self-reference to it. Again, that's how the Buddha taught mindfulness. And then as the Satipatthana Sutta progresses, the Buddha then teaches how to apply the deepening concentration that we're developing from the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. And he mentions then in the Satipatthana Sutta and the Anapanasati Sutta, as our concentration is increasing and we're able to begin to develop, the refined mindfulness, able to develop the refined mindfulness of the entire Eightfold Path, then we're able to start using our mind in a skillful and appropriate way, such as be mindful of the five hindrances. The Buddha talks about that in the Satipatthana and the Anapanasati Sutta. Why? Why should we be mindful of the five hindrances? So that we don't allow them to hinder our development of awakening. To be mindful when we're in doubt. It's interesting to note that there's a modern Buddhist school that I was a part of for many years that actually encourages doubt. And it almost creates a type of worship of doubt. When the Buddha taught it simply as a hindrance. To recognize that you're in doubt, what do you do with it? From a well-concentrated mind, you're able to hold in mind for the moment that I'm in doubt. What do we do with it? It's a hindrance. Let it go. We don't do anything else with it. And the other hindrances, such as laziness or ambivalence, or to be distracted by the constant need for sensory desire. Simply notice those. That's an aspect of mindfulness. Notice it as what's occurring. Don't let it be a hindrance to your life and continue with your Dhamma practice. Continue with your meditation and your deepening understanding of the Eightfold Path. Then included in the four foundations of mindfulness in the Satipatthana and the Anapanasati Sutta is to be mindful of the five clinging aggregates. Why? The Buddha says to be mindful of the five clinging aggregates so as to understand the impermanence of all things. When you look at each individual aggregate, each one of those is obviously impermanent. When we can hold in mind the impermanence of this thing that we're using to describe ourselves, when we're mindful enough, not distracted by other practices or other types of breath worship, when we can simply be mindful of the self-identification with impermanent objects, we'll let them go. That's the whole purpose of it. The Buddha then teaches to be mindful of the sixth sense base. Why? So that we can practice restraint at the sixth sense base. Again, this is how the Buddha teaches mindfulness. Not in a conceptual way, in a very experiential and direct way. To be mindful, and in particular in the sutta, the Buddha teaches to be mindful of clinging arising at the sixth sense base. I smell something and it's enticing. And I become attached to it. I want more of the smell or a taste. Or an idea, especially if it's an idea that helps me build myself up. I'm going to fall in love with that idea quickly, won't I? I'll cling to the idea. And the opposite of that same coin, aversion, clinging to aversion, things that we wish weren't occurring, such as wishing that Buddhist practice be something different than it is. We create an aversion to it, and we cling to the aversion. The Buddha is simply recognizing when clinging is arising for the sole reason to let it go. Not to examine it, not to overanalyze it. Recognize that clinging is taking place through the sixth sense base and let it go, period. Then the Buddha talks about being mindful of the seven factors of awakening. And this is really pointing to the proper application of mindfulness, and it relates to so many suttas. One in particular is the Vitakkasanthana Sutta. Vitakkasanthana Sutta, the Buddha concludes that sutta with saying, we gain the ability to think what we want to think when we want to think it. Think about that. It's remarkable, isn't it, to be able to have the ability to think to have complete control of my thoughts. That's the essence of concentration, isn't it? But it's also the requirement of developing the ability to think what I want to think when I want to think it requires the development of the Eightfold Path so that I can recognize, through having developed a framework of the Eightfold Path for my view of myself in relation to the world, by being able to recognize those things that are distracting from the path, giving in to hindrances, or overindulging in the five clinging aggregates, or dismissing clinging at the sixth sense base. The Buddha's teaching that as concentration deepens through shamatha vipassana meditation, the only meditation method the Buddha ever taught, as concentration increases, we're able to hold in mind thoughts that lead us towards awakening and recognize and abandon conditioned thinking that would block us from awakening. And so, pointing out to hold in mind the seven factors of awakening is a way of saying these are the things that we should hold in mind and let go of those things that are self-indulgent and are rooted in the hindrances that will only continue eye-making, including many so-called modern spiritual practices. I just want to go a little bit further and I want to hear what you have to say about the four foundations of mindfulness. In both of those suttas,
Can you just back up just...
Sure.
Because Somewhere I lost said that you've got the four foundations of mindfulness, the awareness of the hindrances, awareness of the seven factors of enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all... I understand four foundations, the hindrances, recognize when they're present, abandon them, hold in mind, because that's what, when I went, like, I was going to say, you recognize when their hindrances are present and abandon them, and sometimes, like, use a factor of enlightenment, like, I don't know, maybe that's not the right way of saying it, but, like, I was during meditation, I realized that sleepiness was there, and it's a hindrance, but I also, recognizing it was there, like, just, you know, try to be, you know, focus a little bit more on alertness, because otherwise I would have fallen asleep.
Mm.
And that wouldn't have been very purposeful.
No.
But I guess I'm not really sure what my question is. In the four foundations, Satipatthana Sutta is not the four foundations of mindfulness. But it contains four foundations of mindfulness, awareness of the hindrances, seven factors of enlightenment. So how does that, that's where I'm confused.
Oh, why are they there? Why are they included in the sutta?
I know. Of what mind states are there, what's blocking.
Well, that's exactly why why there's other... Again, it's very important to understand, I know you do, I'm just saying this to answer. It's very important to understand the context that the Buddha taught, and then to understand the specific contents of whatever sutta we're referring to. So the Satipatthana Sutta is the sutta on the four frames of reference, or the four foundations of mindfulness. And as you read the sutta from the beginning, I'm not saying you're doing this. It's often done that sections are taken out of the sutta saying this is what the Buddha is teaching, rather than getting the overall context of it. So the Buddha starts the four foundations of mindfulness with teaching us what to do in meditation to deepen concentration.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that by first becoming mindful of the breath and the body. That becomes the anchor point for what we are being mindful of. And then in most every normal human being, as soon as you sit down to meditate, your feelings are going to come up, or thoughts will arise that will distract you, will get you caught back up into the story that we're always telling ourselves.
I'm just listening rather than looking.
And so in order to increase concentration, the Buddha recognized that we cannot allow ourselves to be distracted and just start thinking about how I feel or what I'm thinking about and going down a long train of consciousness type of situation, that just increases distraction. So what we do in meditation to deepen concentration is to recognize that we're caught up in our feelings again, or reacting to a feeling, or thinking about a feeling, or where it came from. Or maybe that feeling has got me into a train of consciousness that has proven to be distraction. Simply to recognize that I'm caught up in my feelings, and I'm caught up in my thoughts, to recognize that they are impermanent in nature, and come back to the sensation of breathing. And that leads to the fourth foundation of mindfulness. And the instruction I give at the end of meditation to notice the quality of your mind refers to the fourth foundation of mindfulness, which means that whatever quality of mind is present, to be at peace with it, to accept it, because we understand that it's an impermanent quality of mind, and simply be at peace with it, to not let the quality of our mind be further distracting. In other words, I reacted to a feeling that I had, and it was a memory of an argument that I had earlier in the day, and I start thinking about how right I am and how wrong that person is, and I let that keep me going for about 5 or 10 minutes. And then I notice that my mind state is very, very agitated because of what I was just thinking about. And that quality of mind, without a refined mindfulness, I'll probably continue to blame that person or the argument. Or I might blame myself for getting upset. Either way, I'm now distracted, and the quality of my mind is now prone to staying agitated and distracted. When I understand the four foundations of mindfulness, and I cease reacting to feelings arising and passing away, and thoughts arising and passing away, the fourth foundation of mindfulness, the present quality of my mind, is at peace, no matter what's occurring. And that's the ultimate training. So from that peaceful and well-concentrated mind, when hindrances arise, When I feel the strong need for sensory indulgence, which means I'm feeling bored, it's the same thing, my mind is well concentrated enough that I can recognize that as a hindrance and not act on it. So the fact...
In meditation.
Wait, it's an important point, Maura. So so just because a hindrance arises doesn't mean that I'm doing something wrong. In fact, it means... Let me finish, please. It means that I'm practicing meditation appropriately because I'm recognizing that I'm distracted and I come back to the sensation of breathing. And that's true for any of the other teachings that are taught. So then the Buddha taught to apply that concentration to the hindrances. Do you notice the progression more?
Yeah, no, I do. And that's, so the question that I had is exactly in that, because just not to go over the whole how they all fit together, but so in the Satipatthana Sutta, he said, blah, 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 the four foundations of mindfulness. And then my only kind of question, and I don't know how to ask it correctly, is how did he say, and be aware of, so Satipatthana Sutta is the mindfulness of, anapana is mindfulness breathing, Satipatthana is the mindfulness sutta, Satipatthana.
Yeah.
Mindfulness.
Yep.
So, mindfulness of, okay, now it's kind of setting back into, there's the foundations, the frames of mindfulness, and then what are you mindful of? Mindful of the hindrances as they arise, mindful of the factors of awakening, and how they all flow.
Yes, that's exactly why the Buddha taught the four foundations of mindfulness. And so let's shorten that to be
concentration so, first to see what's occurring.
Yes. Yeah, again, and so that reinforces.
Abandon what's unskillful and cultivate what's skillful.
Yes, so the Buddha is saying these are the things that we should hold in mind from a well-concentrated mind. And we can imply something from that, too. Then there are things that we shouldn't hold in mind.
Right.
Because they are unskillful.
Ooh, that chocolate
cake. Well, anything. I mean, and more specifically, the Buddha taught this at a time that there was just as much desire for distraction within a spiritual practice as there is today. Well, so he was saying these are the things we do with our mindfulness.
Right. But we've established that for the past 8 years in this class. So I understand that we've established that firmly.
Yes.
This is what the Buddha taught.
Yes.
So we've established that. So now in this particular class, following these particular teachings, trying to get more subtle, even though they're not complex. That's really what I'm interested in, not what other people in other schools of Buddhism are doing.
Oh, I know. So that's what this talk is about, and that's what the Truth of Happiness book is about,
right,
to keep us guided in developing the things that we need to develop.
I understand.
So did I answer your question?
Yeah.
So the other things that are mentioned in the Satipatthana Sutta are things to hold in mind as we deepen our concentration.
Things to hold it. That was the word that I was looking for, things to hold in mind as we deepen our concentration.
Yeah, that's what mindfulness means, to recollect or to hold in mind. And the Anapanasati Sutta is very similar in the subjects covered, but again, in the context of that Anapanasati Sutta, it's a different context. The Buddha's not teaching so much how to meditate, but what to do with what arises during meditation, and it all comes back to recognizing the arising and passing away of all things. Whatever we're thinking about, whatever we're feeling, whatever's arising. If we, again, people have taken sections out of either both of these suttas and made whole Dhamma practices out of it, rather than recognizing the Buddha is very clearly teaching, these are simply mundane occurrences. Whatever we do during meditation, if we want to deepen our concentration, we come back to the sensation of breathing. In mindfulness, if we want to apply mindfulness in its most useful and appropriate way, we'll apply it to the eight factors of the Eightfold Path and these other concepts that would block us from developing the Dhamma practice. So that's the talk on the four foundations of mindfulness. I'd like to hear if you have any questions. But also, if you notice the initial four foundations of mindfulness, how utilizing those in your meditation practice is deepening your concentration. And then also how you're able to use that concentration to hold in mind the other factors of the Buddha's Dhamma. We'll start with Maura. Maura, good to see you.
question was by holding in mind the four foundations of
my... Well, what was your...
So, I know you changed the meditation instructions, but I have been practicing Shamatha Vipassana to the best of my ability in the way, and with the additional, as I said to you before, the additional... meditation instructions, I find they are accurate and they are helpful from my understanding of the Anapanasati Sutta and the Satipatthana Sutta. So that's the way I've been practicing. I do find that practicing in that way, concentration arises. I think where I still need to work is applying better effort. So I still, so I'm certainly mindful of hindrances when they're present. I don't think that at this point of my practice, my concentration is strong. I can see what's happening. I abandon trains of, distracted thinking when I'm aware and return. I just need to keep applying my effort. Even the guy that was talking, I think they were talking about reality and consciousness and stuff, right? And they were going on about you don't really exist and all this stuff. And there was part of me that was like wanting to listen, but I would recognize that craving and abandon it and return my mindfulness to the sensation of breathing and just noticing really like a craving for sensual pleasure and distraction by some mental fabrication that was going on downstairs or wherever they are. But in the past, I think that probably would have really distracted me, but I really just saw it as what it was and returned back to concentration, and then I became sleepy, which is unusual. I don't usually fall asleep. I'm tired right now. So, being kind to that. But, so I would say, yes, the four foundations of mindfulness and holding in mind that which we are, the purpose of what we're doing, is very clear. And just stepping up a little bit more right effort at times. I think for me would be helpful.
Thank you. For most people, I don't know. Yesterday's talk was on right effort and right mindfulness, the Wednesday talk.
I did say it was up there. I had trouble downloading. I was going to listen to Tuesday's talk, but it sometimes my phone, because I'm not on Wi-Fi much on the phone, it says it's unavailable.
Yeah. That, it's very skillful of you to recognize that. Right effort is one of those things that we could almost always improve on it, couldn't we? And the effort we put in.
And I think during the day, during just going throughout the day, that's kind of where I see it more. I see good effort in meditation practice, but mindfulness during the day.
Yeah, what
not
I was
so good.
What I was going to say was that it's an aspect of right effort to simply be mindful that we need to put in more of an effort, isn't it? That's an aspect of a well-concentrated mind, or a mind that's developing concentration. So notice that there's more that we can do. Thank you, Maura. Don, good to see you tonight.
Good to be here. Great talk. It seems to me that the purpose is to achieve peaceful insight. Samatha Vipassana is peaceful insight, right? I mean, that is the point of meditating in this way. That's the way I'm thinking about this conversation tonight and the teachings tonight. And I guess what comes to mind with the four factors and mindfulness is, I think it's almost, it's almost like I can't think my way there, so I have to do it another way, and the way I do it is by being mindful of those factors, you know, when feelings come up, this passion, I push it aside. When a thought comes up, this passion, put it aside. When doing meditation, if I do those things a little bit more automatically without having to think so much about it, and that's what I do now. I just do that. When a thought comes up, I don't think, oh, here's a thought, I better put this aside. I just realize what's happening and focus back on my breath again. It's almost that automatic. And, you know, being a creature of conditioning, which I think is part of my ego problem,
everybody's,
or part of the ego's experience, it's as a human being, I think it's how I'm wired almost. So that I look at my ego as that thing that helps me navigate through life. You know, without my ego, I wouldn't know where I am. So it kind of does that. I don't know if that's right or not. And this is getting a little bit philosophical or something, but I think for me, it's really to keep it simple, and being aware of what's going on helps me to understand how it originates, and it's I think it's heading in that direction. It's like, well, in order for me to experience cessation of dukkha, I'm going to need to know how it originates first. So by understanding how it originates is going to help me to achieve more peaceful insight. And for me, peaceful insight is being in a place where insight to me seems to be something that just happens on its own. I don't need to think it or push it into being. It just emerges. And I've experienced that when I'm feeling particularly distracted or particularly anxious about something, especially if it's a project or something that's come up in my life, if I have a successful meditation, I can at times find myself in a place where a solution will just come to me. I don't have to think about it. It just happens. I don't know if that is actually what happens, but it seems to be what happens. And maybe it's just a matter of me getting out of my own way. Maybe it's just a matter of that feedback loop, you know, feeling, thinking, and then going from there until my mind is a complete mess, you know, until the state of my mind is a complete mess. Heading that off the path, you know, and I don't think that's something I do so intellectually or consciously anymore. I think it's more automatic now. And I think that's an indication for me that I'm using a little more right effort and a little bit more mindfulness in my meditation practice.
Thank you. Shamatha Vipassana. Shamatha means tranquil or quiet. Vipassana means to gain insight. And that describes the meditation method we use. It really doesn't describe how we meditate, though. And the insight that we gain is a very specific insight into the three marks of existence. You mentioned understanding the origins of dukkha. Dukkha originates in ignorance. That's the origins. And that's really as far as we should go, and it's as far as we need to go, because anything beyond that is just going to prove to be more confusing and more of a distraction. So the Buddha described, the Buddha awakened to the cause of suffering, of confusion, deluded thinking, and ongoing disappointing experiences. And he described that as ignorance of Four Noble Truths, which is what we're going to study next week. So the solution isn't, and again, I'm talking more in a general term, not just in response to what you said, Don. So the solution isn't to be found slowly in meditation, although many people look to meditation to have these mystical experiences and solve all their problems and answer all their questions. The Buddha realized that's just unrealistic. There's the a human mind is always in a constant process of becoming if it's framed correctly. And if the thinking is framed correctly, then that human being will become awakened. If that thinking is framed rooted in ignorance, that person can only become more ignorant. And that really is the point. That's the fine line between, are we going to wholeheartedly engage in a Dhamma practice and awaken, or are we going to, which we're all free to do, we're just going to go live a human life and continue whatever thinking that we have. And we're all free to do that. Or we can develop a way to directly impact every thought that we have and be in control of that thought. And that's what the Buddha teaches. That's a significant difference than just than not doing anything, isn't it? You know? So you're describing the process of deepening your concentration and becoming mindful enough to have useful insight to things. And again, and the whole framework of that is the Eightfold Path. Glad you're here tonight. Diane, good to see you.
Good to be here. Thank you for steadfastly devoting your time to this. I really heartfelt appreciate it. Dispassionately.
Your skillful desire. Tanda.
I had a... I'm going to say it anyway. I had like a vision one while you guys... Well, Don was talking and you were responding to him. And the vision was that my mind is a garden. And that the thoughts, and the four foundations, that the thoughts, I weed out the thoughts. That's not a helpful thought. That's not a helpful feeling. And it's right effort is definitely important. I'm going through some physical pain stuff right now, and it's really difficult to ignore that. And I'm, you know, slowly figuring out how to deal with it and everything. But I even see that as a part of the garden. It's my experience with a garden that it takes work to have a garden that's meaningful, I guess, or
abundant.
Well, maybe real or something like that. I mean, anyway, that's basically, and that was kind of nice because, you know, one of the things, though, too, that I'm noticing, and this is probably totally out there. One of the most difficult places I have to be peaceful is in my home. I can go outside and be more peaceful than inside my home. And I've probably tried to analyze that a number of times. But what I'm noticing lately is I actually find myself more peaceful. Am finding myself more and more peaceful at home, which is progress.
Yeah, more and more peaceful with yourself.
Yes. Yeah. So, I'm good.
Thank you. Any other questions on this? The four foundations of mindfulness and using them as they're meant to be as foundations for deepening concentration? To hold in mind the other factors of the Dhamma. All right, next week we are we'll be in our third week on the Four Noble Truths, so y'all can read that chapter, and I'll give a little talk, and we'll discuss that next week. And it's the one thing that I did not mention today. The last thing that is mentioned in the Satipatthana Sutta, and the next to last thing in the Anapanasati Sutta to hold in mind are the Four Noble Truths, and that makes sense, doesn't it? We deepen our concentration, we start clearing out our mind of all the clutter, so that we can hold in mind what's most important. And what is most important? You brought up the origination of dukkha is rooted in ignorance. The cessation of dukkha is rooted in developing an understanding of Four Noble Truths. And the Buddha taught an Eightfold Path to do just that. And that's really all that he ever taught. He spent 45 years teaching how to do that. Okay, let's we'll finish with metta, as we always do. So find your relaxed, meditative posture. Gently close your eyes and gently close your mouth. And again, take a moment to become mindful of the in-breath and your out-breath, the arising and passing away of your breath in your body. And these are the Buddha's words on metta from the Karaniya Metta Sutta. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud or demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove. Wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short, or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another. Even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings. Radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will. Whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding. By not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. Thank you all for a wonderful class, and thank you for those that joined us online. Peace.
Thank you for listening. I rely on donations to support these talks. If you find benefit from these talks, please consider a donation at becoming-buddha.com. I welcome your questions and comments. To contact me and for guided meditations and instructions, Dhamma articles, recorded talks, and videos, please visit becoming-buddha.com. These talks are copyrighted and are distributed under a Creative Commons License 4.0. Peace.